Hermine Shabazz here, owner and operator of Absolutely Fabulous Shea Soufflé and proud sponsor of EPRN, Black-owned and operated radio network. Absolutely Fabulous Shea Soufflé is 100% shea butter whipped to thick, rich, creamy perfection with only natural ingredients. Your skin will delight in the long-lasting moisture and delicate scents such as strawberry mango, baby fresh, and vanilla coconut, to name a few. Visit our website of afshea.com to choose your favorite today.
Black Star Fund Triple LP isn't your typical business services B2B specialty business. As you may have noticed, we love handling complex problems for businesses. Alternative business lending, precious metals banking, business and personal credit restoration services. These are just a few of our B2B services. Get started and go to BlackStarFundLLLP.com. That's BlackStarFundLLLP.com. In case you're wondering, Triple LP stands for Limited Liability, Limited Partnership. My name's Garland L. McLaughlin, also known as the Consulting Guy, and I'm also the Managing General Partner with Black Star Fund, LLLP, providing business to business services for your business certainly involves trust and partnership. Our services are ideal for small and mid-range businesses with 3 years or more of operating experience. Startups are also welcome to inquire about startup loan programs and other consultative business services. Let's start off with a confidential conversation related to your business. Book your 30-minute consultation and let's talk. Give me a call at 980-201-9878 or just fill out the contact form at BlackStarFundLLLP.com.
Are you a proud Black business owner or musician? Email me at ninashaz@gmail.com to have your business and music posted and mentioned on EPRN, Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, for a small donation. We're a proud sponsor for Black-owned businesses and are looking forward to promoting your hard work and further success. Again, if you're interested in having your business advertised, please email me at ninashaz@gmail.com. That's M-I-N-A-S-H-A-Z-Z at gmail.com.
Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man,
so listen now what Paul said, but if any man
draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in it.
No pleasure in it.
Who do you believe in? Who do you believe in?
Dear Mr. President, I heard that you don't really love us. No, we the chosen and your job is to try to corrupt us. Want us to suffer, but the Father, he keeping us covered. Under his mercy, we are waking up, it's almost over. Telling my people to repent, learn to be sober, study the ways. Understand it's a curse, and we had to be slaves. Still stiff-necked, breaking all the laws we were given. All the ones that'll be protected are those who know they're the children, so they obey. Walk to those with no faith, a part of his spirit, and so we can't be erased. Therefore, we gotta get it right or get tossed in the lake. Picture brimstones touching your face, it's too real, ain't it? The torture got me motivated, I don't wanna burn. Know it's a better place to go, and I gotta learn. Humble myself, I'm strengthening my spirit. Gotta turn down the flesh to even hear it. Do you feel it?
Who do you believe in? I put my faith in God, blessed to be breathing. Even though at times it's hard, that's who I believe in. Before fleeing, I'm fasting and pleading. Who do you believe in? Who do you believe in? I put my trust in God, blessed to be breathing. Even though at times it's hard, that's who I believe in. Before fleeing, I'm fasting and pleading. Who do you believe in?
The fact of the matter is that this life is a battle. We're being chastised now with a spiritual powder. How you expect to go to war with no ammo? You better think about it. Like a nation of Rambos, even the king riding. God, it disarm us before we unify. Identify each other as brothers and commit genocide. Let's ride, Israelite pride. And the Bible is my 45. Studying the scriptures, getting closer to the Most High. Tell me who wanna bang out with the highest power without him. You're dirt cheap, like a drinking happy hour. This goes out to all the non-believers. Y'all up on
trust in God, blessed to be breathing. Even though it's not as hard, that's who I believe in. Before fleeing, I'm fasting and pleading. Who do you believe in?
You got to draw a line, pick a side. Strapped in for the bride. Grace means you survived. A lot of Judah ain't alive. Pain thorn in my side. Strain worn, born to thrive. Chain torn, tossed aside. Drain mourn from genocide. Who do you believe in? Set it off like Stephen. Soon as we go to preaching, they coming for your breathing. Is it heaven that you seeking or folly that you speaking? The foe steady peaking, the spirit steady leading. Abba is one and he won't change. Even Aaron's sons burn from the strange flames. So what is you talking about? We struggling, we feel pain. Cause we curse now, we struggle with the real name. Higher, forgive us. Our arms is present, but we still lame. We some lions trapped and captive, and we still tame. And these pastors, they some actors, they just still change. So when I ask you, do you struggle or you feel shame? Or is it so gay?
Psalm 14 and 2 through 4. Like heaven looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek the Most High. 3, they are all gone aside, they are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. 4, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat of my people as they eat bread, and called not upon thy power of higher.
Your number one internet radio station.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. www.eprn.us.
Peace and blessings, family. Thank you for joining me this evening. I'm back again with some more conversations with the Most High Power, conversations with the Hebrews, so we can get this going. And again, thank you for joining me on the Voice of Black Star. And we're going to continue this with the study of Jeremiah chapter 2. We're not going to leave chapter 2 because there are some breakdowns we need to get to understand what's going on and why we are paying attention to the book of Jeremiah in our little conversations. But I want to read something to you first, family. Again, we need to start waking up as to what is really taking place on this earth. You know, God, this God-given earth. Let that sink in for a second. Makes it gives new meaning when you have an open mind and you understand what's going on. But again, let's read Ezekiel. Let's hear what the Most High has to say to us. And for these times and days, let's see what he has to say. This is Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, there were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Abba Yahuwah, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of Yahuwah. Thus saith Yahuwah unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring upon you flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am Yahuwah. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. The bones came together, bone to his bone. And then I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith Yahuwah, come from the far forked winds of breath, and breathe unto these slain, that they may live. So I proceeded, I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith Yahuwah, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am Yahuwah. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, Yahuwah, have spoken it and performed it, saith Abba Yahuwah. So, family, I guess I was supposed to read all this. Let me go ahead and read all of this. The Spirit is moving me to read all of this. So, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for I, Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Saith unto them, thus saith Yahuwah, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, thus saith Yahuwah, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king of them all. And they shall no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim, or their God. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever, forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their Elohim, or their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Elohim, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forever. I'm going to read that verse 28 again. And the heathen shall know that I, the Elohim, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forever. So the Most High is pretty much telling the Gentiles, the heathens, and all that pretty much they're going to see his real power. They're going to see his power. Because right now, they're allowed to run amok in this country. They're allowed to run amok across the world. The world is getting way, way more Babylonic, should I say. And it definitely is showing up. It's showing up big time. And the Most High has been putting it in my spirit to say this to you guys. Because I would just pretty much ask, you know, Most High power, what should I be giving to these people, your people? You know, this has nothing to do with me. I'm just blessed to know that he opened my eyes to see in the spirit to share and to open the rest of his people's eyes that are out here, especially within the United States, because it's about to get really difficult for Judah. It's about to get real, definitely get serious. But I wanted to bring up, too, that when he's talking about his spirit, his servant David, David is not going to be king at this time, because we all know that David has already passed. He's been passed, okay? They're talking about Messiah, Yahushua. Most people say, some of you guys are still saying, you know, JC. But for the most part, he is what he's talking about here. This is, guys, you got to understand, this is not talking about past stuff. It's talking about the future. what's going to happen now, what we got to face coming up, what's going to happen coming up. And a lot of people, this haven't sinked into their hearts yet. As they're not taking this seriously. But Most High is pretty much telling us right there what he needed you to hear. So family, please meditate on this. Listen to this word. Most High is telling you something here, and it's very key. But we're going to go ahead and keep it moving with the Jeremiah chapter 2. And I wanted to start off with Jeremiah 2:2. And Abiyah is this, okay, I'm going to read it first, and then I'm going to express to you what he's trying to say here. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousal, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, and in a land that was not sown. So the Most High here, he pretty much just told you, you know, he's expressing how much we loved him at that time and how we honored him. We honored him as a husband and wife would, you know, and, you know, how we would love each other. When he brought us out of Egypt, we performed according to his will. But then, you know, and then when doing as he asked through Moses. So pretty much we were doing what he said. He was giving us orders as to, you know, how to live, and we did it. He brought us out of Egypt. We followed everything we were supposed to do out of Egypt. Then we, you know, until we tried to do the calf thing. That really ticked him off. You know, that was kind of ugly. I mean, he really brought us out of Egypt. Seriously, a most powerful being can bring you out of terror, because that's what all it's going to take right now for us to come out of this terror we're in right now. Okay? No man is going to save you out of this, people. And I'm talking to the house of Israel. I'm talking to Israel. Israel, listen. Listen, please listen. Okay? So, anyway, back to the chapter 2, verse 2. And we're going to hit this up with some backup scriptures, some reference scriptures. Okay? Because Most High, this is, when I was reading this, it was almost like Most High is like, it's like a wounded lover. And I hate to say it that way, because it's not a bad way to say it, but it is. It's like a wounded lover. He said he did these things for us. He saved us. He saved us, literally saved us. And we go, and what we did, we went out and killed calves. I mean, we went out and built a golden calf. We put our journey together and worshiped the calf. Or the calf did it for us, because we weren't patient enough. Mind you, the river he parted, you know what I'm saying? The things he did to affect Egypt, to bring the king, to get him, to get you guys out of his land and give him to him. Most High came and got you. He came and saved his bride. He literally came to save his bride, and then she goes whoring after something else as soon as they leave out. That's what it's like. And so anyway, I say that with passion, because it's sad, you know, and it's so funny that I wasn't taught this as a kid, and I'm kind of upset that I wasn't taught this as a kid, and we're not teaching our children this as well, you know, because this is serious. This is deep, and I didn't realize how deep the Bible was. Of course, I wasn't into Christianity like that, but of course I did the Sunday stuff and the Eastern Eye crap, but not this. Not with the Most High sitting here writing love songs to his people. I have never seen this, and this is different, and it hit different. These verses are hitting different. But anyway, so we're going to pull up Ezekiel 16 and 8 to follow this up. So let's pull up Ezekiel 16 and 8 and go from there. And it says, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, and saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. So you guys became his. That's what he said. He came and he spread his garment over you guys. That means he brought y'all out of Egypt. He did all these things. He made his covenant with you guys. When he had you guys, you know, when he had us to pretty much mark our doors, those who followed, you know, the path or whatever, he told us to do the covenant, because he was entering us into a covenant with us. He got us out of Egypt. He exited us out of Egypt. That was it. But then he went to also go get the commandments. Okay, this is, he gave us, and then he sent Moses to go up there and get the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments is pretty much a summation of how you should live your life, totally. If you follow those ten, you're going to be on the right path. And, of course, the dietary laws. Okay, but you know, in the Bible, it does go into the diverse laws and everything like that. And I heard that you see it as written in the Bible as divers, but it's diverse laws, okay? So there's the break-off ones, kind of like to break it down for those who really need some explaining, like, you know, yeah, we can't eat pig, you know, of course we know that. That's obvious because he immediately expresses that, but we also can't eat shellfish or foods that require, that cleanse the earth, in other words, because there are animals on here that their job is to cleanse the earth. So they're eating all the bad bacteria and stuff like that. So imagine eating that, putting in our bodies. That's probably why a lot of us Hebrews, especially a lot of us, you know, a lot of us will walk around with cancers and extreme high blood pressures and things like that, and all kinds of weird things going on with us when the Most High had us covered in the beginning. But we chose to leave out. We chose to separate from himself. And so anyway, this is what he's saying in this book. In Ezekiel 16 and verse 8, he's pretty much saying, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love. I mean, he loved what he saw. He loved us. He was like, okay, this is my woman. It's like, you know, you meet a nice, a pretty, pretty lady and everything like that, and let's say you're a truly good guy. Let's get that straight, because, you know, there are a lot of deceptors out there. But we want to talk, I'm talking about the men of real love, men of renown, men of good, you know, heritage. You know what I'm saying? Who did lead the Most High power, like brothers like Ezekiel and Jeremiah would be kind of considered the type. But anyway, I digress on that because, you know, our brothers right now, they're going through a punishment, just like we sisters are as well. We're going through the punishment as well. So we all sit up in here, this big pot of punishment, which the Most High has lashed out against us because of our disobedience. But I digress on that part. So let's go also to Ezekiel 12 and 14 as well. Ezekiel 12 and 14, which is also a good one to read, to follow. Now, we're following up with Jeremiah 2:2, okay? So let's do it. Ezekiel 12 and 14. And it says here, make sure I'm on 12 and 14. Yes. And I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him, to help him in all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after him. Let me make sure I'm reading that one right. 12:14. Uh-oh. Yeah. So I guess right here is what he's saying is that, you know, I scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him. So that means nobody, there can be nobody here to help you now because you done really upset the Most High power. You literally upset him. You know, and therefore he's going to put us into captivity. This right here is talking about captivities after this. It's talking about, you know, our captivity and stuff like that. Because this is where we're going, because we totally broke the Most High's heart. And when you read these verses, you will see how that could be understood or be accepted, because, you know, you'd be like, oh my goodness, we really hurt him. Because a lot of us, again, like I said, a lot of us don't believe he really truly exists. We believe in this Bible. And when I say believe, that don't mean you like understand it, because if you did, you know that he exists. But I mean, like, just going through the motions of the Bible. How about that? Just going through the motions. You know, oh, yes, I read a little bit of the new chapter, Genesis, and then I've also read Matthew in the New Testament. So I got a little bit of the old, and I got a little bit of new, and now that's it. Okay? So that's what a lot of us do. And so we use this book as a ritual, more to say than like an idol. In other words, you know, and this is what the Most High was talking about. This is what he was saying. This is what he was saying to his people. Okay? But anyway, let's do Jeremiah 2 and 6. Let's read what it says. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through the land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt. So they're saying, because Most High has abandoned you. He's left it now. Because you guys have hurt his feelings. You made him feel like nothing. Okay? He did all these wonderful things and wonderful works and acts for us. But we choose to believe that he doesn't exist. Only in an idolatrous mind do we believe he exists. So let's, if that makes sense. Okay? Only in through idolatry. We don't really love him. Like he was talking about how he loved us almost like a husband and wife getting down. A true relationship of a husband and wife be getting down. That's what he's talking about. But anyway, so let's go to, let's reference. He brought us out of the land of Egypt in this part right here. He was telling us how, you know, we played the heart on him. So anyway, let's go to Isaiah 63, 9 through 10. So we're going to do Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63:9 through. I am so ahead of myself. I got to get back to it. There we go. Okay, Isaiah 63:9-11. So we can get a proper understanding as to, you know, how the Most High wants us to behave. Because we did him wrong. And I can say that reading these things is a lot deeper. Reading what the Most High has put forth, I mean, it's a supernatural thing. And we need to be honest with that, that it does exist. The so-called supernatural, because we think everything lives on an earthly plane. Everything is not on an earthly plane. Did I say 63:9? Okay. Okay, I think this is 9-11. And the Lord said, let me read this, let me see. This is 63. Oh, no, that's 68. Forgive me, family. But we are going to have to. Let's see here. I've got a 63 here somewhere. We're going to get 63. Just give me a second here. But again, we're going to also get Hosea 13:4. 13:8, 13:9-10. But yes, the Most High Power definitely wants to make sure that we are on point with him and what he's talking about. Let's see, 63:9, I think I found. There's no reason I can't. What's going on here? But Abba Yahuwah definitely loves us, family. And we need to make sure that we return that love to him, because he's definitely reaching out in these times. He's definitely reaching out in these times. It's okay, he's 40. Okay, all right, I think I almost have it. Okay. Okay. Okay, here we go. I have found her. So it's going to be 63. Okay, let's get it out. 63:9-11. And I think we're going to end it on this one right here along with this Jeremiah 2:6. But here we go. It's Isaiah that we're matching 2:6 with. It's Isaiah 63:9-11. And it says, "In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, 'Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him?'" Okay, so family, the Most High right here is pretty much telling us that we are his family. You know, he is, you know, and the people we were afflicted, and you know, we turned against him. And that's what he's saying in this verse right here. In all the affliction he was afflicted. In all their affliction he was afflicted, because he felt bad for us. He didn't want to have for us to have to go through this, because he warned us in the beginning. Since everybody loved Genesis and Deuteronomy and all that stuff, he says this in the beginning about what would happen if we were disobedient, you know, because he chose us to be his wife, you know. It's like, you know, it's hard, you know, or a husband and wife team that aren't working together. And that's what it was like for the Most High. It was like a bad marriage. And so he was afflicted when they was afflicted. And he said that he saved him. He brought him up out of those troubled times. He brought him up out of Egypt. He brought him up out of the different times they were in, what they were going through, you know, because they did some things wrong. And then He pitied them and he redeemed them. Okay, I'm gonna save them. Because it hurt him to do that. It's like disciplining a good child that sometimes it may have gone off a little bit. Child, it was yours, you know what I'm saying? You love this baby, you love this child or whatever, and everything. And then one day they did something. They went around, they broke your favorite vase, a favorite something, or they broke something in the house that, you know, was useful or whatever. And kids, you know they break stuff. They running around, they're playing, they're being flamboyant and stuff like that, like children. And that's what we were like to the Most High before. We turned around and became like, wow. So anyway, he disciplined us. You know, it's like, let's put it this way. It's like a wife who going around being harlot on her husband. And in the scriptures, it tells you that he has the right to, you can do that. Because even, you know, even though Christ says, actually Yeshua says, you know, to get rid of your wife. I forget how the whole scripture goes, but really useful. Yeah, you're supposed to work it out. But that's a whole other story. Let's talk about that later. But let's do finish up what we're talking about here as far as the Most High is telling us what, you know, how he felt when we were getting afflicted, because he didn't want to have us afflicted. And this could have been avoided had we just swallowed the plane. But they rebelled and they vexed his Holy Spirit. They vexed him. We vexed him. We made him upset. You know, we really like hurt him because we went out and played the harlot on him. We really, really went out and played the harlot on the Most High Power. Now let's go to Hosea 13 and 4. We're going to pull up Hosea 13 and 4. And then once we pull up Hosea 13 and 4, we should be done as far as this goes. But there's still more to go with Jeremiah 2. Because there are some follow-up chapters for some certain verses and stuff like that you guys got to have to understand. Because again, the Most High Power, he's serious about his. He's very serious about this. And there's a whole big thing is changing. The earth is changing. I don't know if you guys have noticed it yet. And a lot of people are still living in la-la land. Okay, we're about to be in, like, seriously, the Most High has caused this earth to be in destruction before, where he destroyed the entire earth and saved only a few. And that's what's coming around again. This is, like, the big one. This is the big one right here, though. This is, like, it's going to be like that. Okay, and we talk about Babylon and Tower of Babylon and how that went down. But, no, this is going to be like the flood of Genesis. But instead, we're going to have heat and flames instead of water and sharks and stuff. So, people, we need to put it together, family. We really do. Hosea 13:4. And let's see what Hosea 13:4 and how does that relate to Jeremiah 2:6. You know? So 13:4. Yet I am Yahuwah, the Elohim, from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me. For there is no Savior besides me. Okay, that's what it is. There is no Savior besides him. And that's what's going down now, family, because a lot of us think that it's somehow these politicians, these men, whatever like that, are going to save us. And we keep getting excited about all these guys and excited because they tell us a little something here, because something we want to hear. They tell us what we want to hear. Not what we need to hear, but what we want to hear, just so they can get what they need and want and keep it moving. And then we're left sitting here right now. Like, for instance, Biden at this point, you know, he's giving illegals funding. And not just little bits of funding. But we were told, oh, we got to see, we got to wait, we got to go through this meeting, we got to do this, we got to do that. Okay? But this right here, Most High is telling us why this is so when it comes to people like Biden. And any man, for that matter. Let me read that for you again. That's Hosea 13:4. Yet I am Yahuwah, their Elohim, from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no Elohim but me, for there is no Savior besides me. People, family, Hebrews, Judah, whatever you want to call it, Israel, family, there are no other Saviors. There is no other Savior. There's no other Savior that's going to pull you out of this right here. Only the Most High Power have your back. He's telling you this, and that's why he's allowing the oppression, the suppression, and all the things that are going on, the plagues, the broken promises, you know. There's a lot of that because we kept backsliding, and we're backsliding now. Like, I see a lot of people still, you know, even with the plague going on, they're saying all the stuff like that, but it didn't stop them from wanting to go out and do the pagan holiday, Halloween. It didn't stop them. oh, but I love the Most High Power. He'll be okay if I go out here and do this little trick or treating, this little ritual that's been going on since forever, where people worship the dead. The Most High say, don't do that. The dead know nothing. They are dead. They're in their place until he's ready to bring them forward for their judgment. Okay, family, that's what you all not understanding. Their real judgment is going to happen. Okay, there's some real things that are about to happen, and we don't see it because we think of everything, ha ha, fun and games, laughs, ha ha, you know, Most High isn't real. Because a lot of you don't believe that. A lot of subconsciously, you don't believe he's real. And that's what's going on in a lot of your heads. You don't see him that way. So Hosea 13:8, let's read that. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rent the caul of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. You hear the Most High? He is angry. This is anger, family. This is straight anger. He's like, he's telling us what's going to happen to us. And that don't mean like some real bear will come along and get you. No. It's talking about those people of the world, those Gentiles, those ones you'll be getting shot down in the street by. You know what I'm saying? For just having a tag that ain't proper, you know, or looking like you about to do something. You know what I'm saying? That's what, you know what I'm saying? A bear without her whelps, who just lost her whelps, well, she's angry. So she just lashing out at any and everything. And that's how these officers act out here with our people, with our sons, and even our daughters now. There's no holes barred in this point. So this is why the Most High is acting. This is how what he's allowing to happen to us and our children. You know, and it will keep on happening to our children, if we don't repent and if he don't come along and just handle his business. Because we know he's coming back, he's going to stop all of this, but he has to cleanse first. But I digress, that's a whole other story. But 13:9-10, let's read that one as well. 9-10. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee? It says, where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? Okay, I think that's the perfect spot to leave on, family, because we need to understand. That's a good question. Ask yourself, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? There's nobody that can save us in this thing, family, but him. Okay? Thou hast been destroyed thyself. Thou hast destroyed thyself. We have destroyed ourselves, family. Look how we're living in the streets. Look how we're living here, especially in the U.S. And we're over here complaining. We're over here whining and complaining and everything, but not looking inside and saying, okay, why is this? What is so important about us being tormented like this? Why are we being tormented like this? No one understands. Financially, physically, mentally, we are being destroyed as a people, to the point we don't even believe who we are. Sometimes we don't even want to believe from the continent we came from. A lot of us now talk about, and I know the foundational Black American thing, and I get that. I get what you're trying to say and trying to do, but it's still running. To me, that's running. That's deriving ourselves from what's real. You know what I'm saying? Who we really are. You're denying the power. You're denying the power there because you figure if you can just run off and deny that part, just deny it, that everything will just be good and hunky-dory for you. But that's not how it works. That's not how the Most High's work. And that's he's showing you right now. He's about to show you guys his power. He's about to show you he exists and that he lives. So Israel, please, put it together. Love your neighbor as yourself. And when I say love your neighbor as yourself, that don't mean the heathen, Babylonian-minded weirdos, okay? We're not talking about them, okay? I'm talking about your own kind, your own people, of your own nation. Because what I read to you in Ezekiel, that verse in Ezekiel 37, that whole chapter, that is telling you who and what you are and what's the power thereof that rules you. And there will be no other. You know, the husband is not giving up his bride. He's not letting her go. So the remnant is going to get this. The remnant of us who heard this message today will definitely get it, and they will understand that the Most High is the power, the only way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Praise Yahuwah.